Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned to
Disorderly Conduct
with your host,
Vince in the Bay.
Hi there, honey. I'm number one.
Hi there, fella. I'd like to see you after the show.
Vince in the Bay.
Check.
Check, check. Okay. Hey, hey, hey. It's motherfucking Vince in the Bay. I cut the music. All right. Welcome to a impromptu edition of Disorderly Conduct. I'm Vince in the Bay. I'm back in the Bay Area from an adventurous journey to the capital of the universe, New York City. I'm glad to be back in the Bay Area. I just got in, and I'm stoked. I'm stoked to be here with you. I'm stoked to be back on the air. I've missed doing Blog Talk Radio. Hang on a second. I got to turn off my phone because it keeps fucking going off the hook. Oh, yeah, I don't have a phone. I forgot. All right. There we go. Okie dokie. Artichokies. Hey, everybody. And by everybody, I mean Chef Bon RD, cool guy, something or other, and several guest listeners. Thank you for joining me. Sorry I'm late. Sorry I'm doing this, like, on the fly. But I don't know. People were begging me to do a show a couple days ago, and now, like, nobody's here. So whatever. I don't give a fuck. You guys are here. Chef Bon RD is here. Chef, if you want, I know you're probably half distracted. Oh, wait, no, it's there's no red eye on tonight, so you have to listen to me. if you want to call in, 347-826-7667 is the number. Spread the word. People probably don't even know I'm doing a show right now, but I am. And fuck, I had a crazy-ass weekend over out in New York City for this Jeremy Hammond sentencing. And it was pretty intense. I got to see Jeremy Hammond live in person for the first time ever, maybe the only time ever. And I got to meet a lot of his supporters, some who I had already known, and some who I'd only known online, and got to meet in real life. That was a lot of fun. But I'm glad to be back in the Bay. It's been a whirlwind tour. I hardly got any sleep. It was fun nonetheless. And I'm happy to share with you if you're interested. If not, we can talk about pretty much anything, dudes. It's open lines, so... So Jake Davis finally wants to respond to me. Great. I don't know. My Twitter's fucking blowing up right now. But I can take questions from the chat room too if you're interested. Chef Bon RD says, "So did Ron Brand try to touch your yogurts, Vince?" No, Ron Brand did not try to touch me. He kept him hands to himself. He did have some yogurt, though. I saw him eat some yogurt, but I did not let him touch my yogurt. Did Ron have all kinds of heroin? No, incorrect. Ron did not have any heroin. I had a great time hanging out with Ron, man. We hung out for like almost a all night. Like, what was it? I think it was Friday night. That everybody was out and about, and I ran into Ron, and we hung out, drank, and he's not a bad guy, you know? And, yeah, I was stoked. I met so many fucking cool people. I reconnected with a lot of people that I'd seen before. I saw Panda Blake. That was pretty cool. Okay. Oh, here's Jake Davis. Jake Davis is, you know, poor Jake Davis. You know, while Jeremy Hammond is getting ready to face 10 years in prison, getting ready. I mean, he's already there. He's already serving. While Jeremy Hammond is serving time in federal prison here for 10 more years of his life for crimes that he did with Anonymous and in conjunction with Anonymous Sabu, a.k.a. Hector Monsignor. Jake right now is serving hard time in art school, apparently. Let's see. He looks like he's correcting me here. He's fact-checking me. He says, one, I am not in art school. You're referring to a two-week summer thing I did in June. Two, UK judge concluded all charges. Okay. Dude, Jake, you're too smart for me. I don't even know what that word means, but the judge just concluded all the shows. Great. Good for you. Congratulations. Number three, as much as I like the hashtag sentenced to art school, I was sentenced to 2 years, three if I didn't plead guilty earlier. Okay. Four, I served 37 days. Oh, wow, he served a whole 37 days. Wow. Man, that must have been rough. A whole 37 days because I dealt with two straight years of no internet and giant electronic curfew tag around my ankle. Oh, poor guy, no internet for two straight years. Oh, geez, shucks, that must have sucked. And a little electronic thing around your ankle? Oh, poor Jake. I take you back everything, Jake. You served 37 whole days and 2 years with no internet. My God. Whew. I had no idea, bro. My bad. Oh, and number five, I can't help it if I'm lucky. yeah, that's what it was. Luck. Yeah, hey, lucky dude. Yeah, I wish I had that kind of luck. I wish Jeremy had that kind of luck. Anyway. It is what it is. I'm Vince in the Bay, and we can talk about this. We can talk about anything. But I'd be happy to share details of my trip. It was a lot of fun, except for the part where Jeremy Hammond got sentenced to 10 years in prison. But whatever. Anywho, if you want to call in and help me out here, feel free to do so. It's open lines. We'll talk about anything. X you out. What in the living hell went down in NYC? Dude, I wish you could have came down, bro. It would have been great to see you there, man. You know what? To be honest, it was such a fucking surreal experience that I don't even know what happened. I still don't know what happened, man. I don't even know where to begin. You should just call in and just start asking me shit, and I'll answer you questions, because I've been telling the story over and over and over again. If you're referring to me coming forward as a victim at the end of this right before the sentencing in the courtroom, I can tell you more or less what went down. But first things first, dude, I'm fucking tired. I don't know if you can even hear it in my voice, but I can barely speak. I'm like totally delirious. I've just been hopped up on no sleep and adrenaline for the last 4 or 5 days. And, but I don't know. I was anxious to get back and do a show. And I thought that jet lag, I don't even know if I have jet lag. I don't even know if I got over my jet lag from originally flying from California to New York. But, yeah, I'm jet lagged. It's all of the above, guys. So I really would like some help tonight. If you want to call in, that'd be great. It's 347-826-7667. Obviously, X you out. You're more than welcome to call in and quiz me. Or anybody else who wants to, that for that matter, Chef Bone RD, whoever. But I'd like to thank. Yeah, I'll tweet my show out in just a second. I gotta get some. I gotta get some water because my mouth is really dry. I think I'm really dehydrated. I don't think I drank enough. But if you guys could tweet out the show, that'd be great. Thank you, One Notice, Chef Bone RD, Cool Guy Guinea, several guests. Drink more, for fuck's sake. X You Out says, drink more, for fuck's sake. Dude, man, I went out with some folks last night to a pretty high, I would say, I went pretty well-established Italian joint and had some grappa. Yeah, the city that never sleeps. I didn't sleep, dude. I think I got 5 hours sleep total the whole time I was there. But yeah, I went to this Italian joint. Stanley Cohen took me out to dinner with a couple of his friends, and we went to this Italian joint that apparently they've shot scenes from The Godfather in, and it's like run by these, you know, Italian Albanians, and it's crazy. I did not have calamari. I don't know what I had, man, but all of it was delicious, dude. It was like 3 or 4 course meal. I had some like this, some chicken with, I don't even know what it was. The guys like had such thick accents at this Italian joint that I was like, fuck, I don't even know what you're saying. I think I heard chicken, and I like chicken, so I'll do that. And it had like chicken mixed with like sausage, and it had the sauce all over it, and oh, so fucking good, dude. And then I made the mistake of drinking the grappa. And was it in Rockaway? No, dude. It was in fucking Manhattan, dude. It was like I don't remember exactly. But it was on, I think it was more or less Lower East Side of Manhattan. But at that point I was so turned around and so fucked up in the head that I didn't know up from down. But I made some new Italiano friends, and Albanian friends, and I made a lot of friends. I made some friends with some U.S. Marshals. I might even became friends with a particular judge while I was out there, or at least was friendly with her. She's got the last name Presca. I think that's Italian. I think we're both Italianos. You know, it's all good. But don't be shy, people. Call in. Call me, motherfuckers. I can't talk this whole time. My voice is getting like almost, my voice is almost gone, dude. So I'm definitely going to need some help, but I'm happy to answer questions about my trip if you're curious about how things went down with the Jeremy Hammond sentencing and all the support that went around it. I know Sue's probably gone to bed and not hearing this, but I want to thank Sue Crabtree so much for inspiring me to help jump in and help support Jeremy and all of his friends and family and longtime supporters who have been there with him since day one. I got on the free Hammond train late, but better late than never, right? Yeah, dudes. Chef Bone RD says, I thought you were going to say she whose name we shall not say. No. X You Out asks, compared to DEF CON, how is NYC? Well, they're two totally different things, but I think I had just as much of a blast at DEF CON as I did at NYC in NYC. I mean, it was two different things, but it was, you know, overlapping communities. He's saying, as far as tweeps in real life, I was equally impressed, I think. You know, it seems like I keep saying, for over the last, 5 months, maybe a year, over the last year, I've gotten to meet a lot of folks off of Twitter in real life. And I would say, if I were to put an average, I'd say 95% of the people that I meet are totally cool. And in many cases, way cooler in person than they appear to be on Twitter. I met a lot of really cool people. And I always get off on the wrong foot with people. I do, man. The first night I got there, we had a get together at this bar called Jeremy's Ale House, coincidentally. And I got to meet a lot of people, a lot of really cool people. And I got to meet this guy, Anon NYC. He, like, has an obsession with O's. Like, he capitalizes every O in every sentence he tweets, but his name, but in his, the O in his Anon is a zero. So, I don't know. He's got some zero O fetish thing going on. But that dude, like, we got off on the wrong foot. And that's a story in and of itself. I can tell you about that. People thought we were going to go to fucking blows, and that was never going to come to that, but I did kind of get up in his face for trying to, he tried to in real life troll me, and I didn't know who he was, and I got fucking pissed. I guess I can tell you real quick, it's not a long story, but this dude, you guys know who I'm talking about, right? He's like Anon NYC, but the Anon is with a zero instead of an O. All right, this guy, he's a New York tough. He thinks he's a New York tough guy, whatever. So he's at this bar with all of us, but I didn't even get introduced to him. I didn't know it's him. I didn't know he was there. Okay, I'd been introduced to everybody there that was part of the party. So I thought, you know, I knew everybody that was there, and and you know, they had a jukebox, and I thought, hey, I'm going to play DJ, dude. I want to hear some Primus, because you guys know I'm fucking in a Primus kick right now, and Andrew Blake was there. He's like, yeah, let's do some Primus, dude. So I go up to the jukebox, and it's one of these crazy digital jukeboxes that I've never seen before, and I'm just standing in front of it, like, trying to figure it out. You know, I haven't even put any money in yet. I'm just, like, looking at it, just trying to, like, see what music they have, see if it's even worth putting money in. Because, you know, sometimes you put money in a jukebox, and it's just all, like, I don't know, MC Hammer songs or some shit. So I was just kind of, like, checking out the selections and stuff. And I'm just looking at it. Again, I haven't put any money in the machine. I'm just looking to see, like, what if it's worth putting money in the machine. And out of nowhere, this dude, like, gets in front of me and starts pressing buttons on the machine and trying to, like, select Sarah McLachlan for me. Like, I guess this guy thought that I had already put money in and he was going to, like, troll me by, like, playing Sarah McLachlan for me. And I'm like, excuse me, what the fuck are you doing? And he's just like laughing, and he's pressing buttons and stuff, and he's like all like, you know, totally gets in my way, just super rude. And I'm like, dude, who the fuck are you, and what are you doing? What the hell? And so I'm like, you want, what the fuck? And so I kind of get in his face, and he gets in my face, and we kind of like start jabbing at each other, and immediately people jump in and separate us, and I think he tried to pull my hat off my head or something, I want to say he pulled my hat off of my head and, like, threw it at me or put it on his head or some shit. I don't even remember, dudes. I think it was something happened with my hat. Either he wanted my hat or he tried to take my hat. And I was like, you want my hat? And I pulled it off my head and I threw it at him. Here, I'm like, here, you can have my hat. It's yours, bro. And he took it and he put it on his head, and he's like, all right, cool. And I was like, great. All right. Congratulations. You got Vincent the Bass hat. Now I'm going to go back and put money in the machine and actually start selecting songs. And considering that you were trying to select a Sarah McLachlan song, I'm going to fulfill your request and dedicate the first song to you, bro. I don't know which Sarah McLachlan song you want, but I'm going to find one that's just right for you. So things calm down, and he's like, I'm still in the middle. I put 20 bucks in this thing, so I've got like 55 credits. You know, I'm going to have like 3 hours worth of songs to program. So I program a few, and there's still shit going on in the background, like people are trying to calm him down and blah, blah, blah. And in the middle of it, I'm like, you know, I feel bad. I jumped off the handle on this guy. It looks like he's friends with some of us, because he was with Liam fuck it all and his girl. And I was like, oh shit, that's Liam's friend. Well, all right, I guess that's not cool, but whatever, you know. So I try to go over to attempt to smooth things out, and I'm like, you know, trying to get, you know, shake his hand and say, look, man, no hard feelings. I'm sorry I overreacted like that. You know, it's just, I understand you're trying to just prank me and it's all good, whatever. And he was like, no, man, let's take it outside. Let's take it outside. And I'm like, dude, I'm not going outside with you. I just put $20 in the fucking jukebox. I want to hear some music, drink, and hang out with my pals. And he's like, let's go outside. I'm like, all right, well, go outside, and when I'm done listening to my music and shit, I'll come out and meet you. And so he goes outside. I think he's still got my hat on. And so he goes outside. I think I gave him my hat, and he goes outside to wait for me. I'm like, great, go ahead, have fun. And so I go back to the jukebox, and I program my songs. I program the Sarah McLachlan song dedicated to him. I try to convince him to come back inside so he can hear the Sarah McLachlan song that I've dedicated to him, but he refuses to. He only wants to deal with me outside. So I'm like, all right, well, have fun outside. I'll see you out there in a bit. Anyway, so there is some tension in this bar, and it's kind of a bummer because everybody's having a good time, you know, like everybody's cool. The bartenders are cool. The people, you know, the complete strangers are cool. The Knicks game's on. It's like a super close, tight Knicks. I don't know if you guys saw the Knicks game on Thursday. Was it Thursday night? But it was Carmelo got totally ripped off, man. He got fouled in the act of shooting at the end of the game. They were down 4 points. He shot a three-pointer, got fouled, made the shot, and would have gotten a free throw to tie the game, but they didn't allow the shot to count. And when they did the slow motion replay, it was so obvious that he did get fouled in the act of shooting. He got fucking totally ripped off. And so I bonded with some Knicks fans, and then the Warriors came on next, and it was a cool night. It was a fun night. And Blake is there helping me program in songs and stuff. WBVU Soldier's there helping me pick songs. I dedicated John Denver song to him. And, you know, I'm just asking people, what do you want to hear? Because I have like a shit ton of songs to put in there. I dedicate some of some Sinatra tunes to the guys that are working behind the bar. By the way, Milton from big ups to Milton from Jeremy's Ale House, the guy that's the head bartender. I don't know if he's the owner, but he's like the man there. Big ups to him. I had a fucking blast, and he was really cool. He took care of me. He was a great mediator, too, and made sure that there was no fight, even though I never thought there was going to be a fight. And it took me so long to figure out who that dude was. I still didn't know it was a non-NYC until after the fact. But whatever, the night goes on, we drink, people kind of like settle down. Eventually, by the end of the night, I end up outside making up, kissing. Well, we didn't kiss and make up, but we at least shook hands, and I finally figured out who he was, and it was all good. And I actually got into it with Liam, too, because Liam, I guess, are really close buddies. So, like, he was, like, sticking up for his pal and stuff. And he was taking it personal, too. And it got to the point where I thought Liam was more mad, was more, like, pissed at me than the non-NYC guy. Because, like, eventually, like I said, I kissed and made up with a non-NYC, but Liam just wouldn't let it go. He's just like, just not cool, man. Not fucking cool. Blah, 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 blah. And he just won't let it go. So I'm like, I don't know what to do, bro, man. I mean, your homies and I are cool now, and why can't you be cool? But it's whatever. You know, it was just drunk people being stupid, and that's, you know how it is. You go to a bar and shit happens, even if you're out with friends. But other than that, the night was great. That first night I was there was fucking awesome. I had so much fun meeting all these people. I got to meet Jeremy's mom and dad, and Sue was there, and just a shit ton of people. And it was good times. The whole weekend was good times. Again, except for the part where Jeremy had got the full sentencing. He got sentenced to the full to the maximum, which is stupid, but whatever. It is what it is. And I'm Vince in the Bay, and I would love if somebody would call me. Jesus Christ, call me. And anybody else call me too, but I would prefer Jesus Christ to call me. And if you call in, this is how you do it. You dial the number 347-826-7667. You press the number 1 that alerts me you are you want to be put into the onto the air, and I'll have you in queue and bring you on. And it looks like I have a caller already now. Here's a caller, block number caller. You're on the air. Who's this?
Hey, Vince. It's Ron.
Oh, Ron. What up, dude?
Hey, what's up?
Dude, oh, my God. I just got home, like, I don't know, an hour ago. It's been a crazy long day. But it was worth it, man. I had so much fun, and it was great to hang out with you. Thanks for being so cool and walking the streets of New York with me.
Hey, technically, I got to make a correction to something you said earlier. When we were at the Best Western, the clerk handed me your yogurt, and I handed it to you. So technically, I did touch your yogurt, whatever that means.
Oh, fuck. God damn you, Ron. Son of a bitch. All right, I admit it. Ron touched my yogurt, or I touched his yogurt, or yogurt was touched, and I and Jan.
No, you definitely Ron didn't touch my yogurt. I never would have allowed that to happen.
Yeah, you're smart. But yeah, I fully doxed Ron as a member of the CIA. I don't know if you saw the picture online, but he's got a Central Intelligence Agency hat on. So I think that pretty much proves that he is working with the CIA. And he's been following me around. And he finally got me in person. So I'm pretty sure he put some sort of RFID tracking device on me somewhere. I've been scanning all my clothes, Ron. I can't find it yet. But when I do, I'm going to destroy it. No, I'm not. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put it on I'm going to drive out to Highway 5 and attach it to a big rig. And you can just follow that. See what happens.
I don't know, Vince. You weren't really the mission objective. The mission objective was to get to Subverso, and since he now has that CIA hat.
Oh, no. I got the CIA hat back from you and from Subverso. I also got my hat. I also got my hat back from Anon NYC. So I have all of your DNA. I have all of your DNA. And I've already sent it to the lab, and we're going to do some analysis, and we're going to be able to, I can't really say much, but let's just put it this way. We have people who are working on a way to clone human identities in meat space. Yeah. You know how you can like spoof somebody's phone number when you want to prank call them? Well, we've developed a way to spoof an actual person, and all we need is a strand of DNA. And it's so easy to do it with a hair. I mean, you don't even know. Almost everybody I asked if they would wear my hat, they said yes. So if you wear my hat in New York City, I have your DNA, and I will be cloning you soon. And if you want, I can make an extra clone. It's going to cost you, though. And that clone you can use to, you know, if you go to school, they can do your schoolwork for you. If you go to work, they can go to work for you. It's a new thing I'm going to get into. So watch out for that. So what did you think of this weekend, this Jeremy Hammond thing?
Oh, well, you know, I had a great time. I met a few cool people there after myself. I mean, I didn't go to the hearing or anything. I just went to the after party. But, it was cool, you know, hanging out with you and AP Blake and his girlfriend and oh my God, my name. I always have problems saying Griffin.
Yeah, Griffin's a cool dude. I liked Griffin. That was fun to meet him.
Yeah.
Met a lot of people. I met Greg Hausch in person. He seemed pretty cool. I met finally met Jay Lederman in person. He was really nice.
Thought that you had actually met him in person before, but
no,
yeah.
No, that was the first time. I tried to, but no luck.
I assumed that he was at the PayPal 14 thing that you had gone to not long ago, but I guess wrong. The next day we met Subverso, Tor Eklund, and Vivian Weissman right before they were going to see Weave in prison. So that was definitely interesting too.
Yeah. Vivian Weissman, Tor Eklund, and Subverso and their camera guy, Vivian's camera guy, drove out to see Weave on Saturday. And we saw them leave, and then when they came back, I met up with them, and Vivian interviewed me for her documentary. She's doing a documentary about, it's related to, like, Barrett Brown and Weave and all this activist, hacker, troll culture, and she interviewed me for it, so... We'll see how that comes out. I was you think I sound tired now. I actually had a decent night's sleep last night. But when I interviewed with her, I was just, fuck, I was a zombie, dude. So it was, I don't even know if there's, she said that she was happy with what she got, but I don't know. I just didn't feel like I was on my game, but we'll see.
Did you even make it to dinner with Stanley Cohen?
Oh, that was that. Yeah, I did. It was awesome, man. I was just telling people
you
that.
Said you were going. He said he told you he would take you to a place that was in Sopranos, right?
Yeah, he took me to this joint that I think it's called. I want to say it's called Acapella or something like that. I don't know. It starts with an A. But it's apparently it was used in scenes in The Godfather The Sopranos, and it was a pretty cool joint, man. There was apparently this is like one of these places where people like
it was in
like
Little Italy then.
I don't know. It was I just jumped in a cab, said take me here, and they took me there. Mm-hmm. And I forgot where it was exactly, but it was like hardcore. Like there's the people that worked there were, and the owner were like hardcore Italian Albanians, and they had all these, and you know, a lot of these people were former clients of Stanley's. They were telling me that this is a. They told
really?
Me that this is that they told. Well, you know, this is the part you'll like. they told me that occasionally Carmelo after games they'll shut the place down for him and his crew, and they'll come through and just have the whole place to themselves. So they were telling me some stories about Carmelo.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. Oh, perhaps what was the name of the last coach of the Knicks when Carmelo took over, when Carmelo came over? I forget his name. I really disliked him, but he was Italian, so he might have actually introduced them to the Giants first.
That's it, dude. He found it. XU Out found it. Thanks, XU Out. Acapella Restaurant, the best northern Italian dining experience in NYC. And I got to tell you, I haven't dined at all the Italian places in NYC, but that shit was good, man. Fucking really. Oh, they got a YouTube video, too. That's badass. I met the owner, and he says he actually wants to be on the show. So he's going to be my guest.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, he was like, "Yeah, I'll call into your show, no problem." He's the guy. If you look at the website, there's a guy who's holding two lobsters within his arms. That's the dude that owns the restaurant and runs the restaurant, and he's fucking so cool. He gave me his card. He said he'll call in, and they serve this grappa, and I made the mistake of actually drinking it. I mean, it was delicious. It was good. But it was this cherry grappa. And I haven't had grappa since I was in Milano years ago. So I was like, all right, well, when in Rome, let's do this. And, of course, Stanley knew better. Stanley's like, no, I ain't fucking drinking that. Hell no. And, dude, I had one glass and I ate one cherry. And these cherries just sit in the grappa and just soak in all of it. And the cherry is almost worse than drinking the grappa itself. But yeah, that just put me over the top. I was toast. I was done. After that, yeah, I was completely useless after the grappa. The shit fucks you
really?
Up, yeah, man.
Oh,
yeah.
But you'd gone back to drinking before that, or you were done because you were so overtired?
Well,
we definitely didn't
do
any drinking on Saturday.
It was pretty...
Just coffee. I think I had like 6 gallons of coffee at the Best Western.
Yeah, they took care of us there at the Best Western. That was fun. And I want to thank you, Ron, for staying on your side of the bed at the hotel. You know, we got a queen size bed. We had a queen size bed, and Ron wanted this spoon, and I was like, "No, dude, come on, no, I'm not. I don't swing that way, bro. Sorry." But yeah, we had fun hanging out, dude. We got shit, man. We talked about movies and rap, hip hop, and all. Fucking the Knicks and all kinds of shit, dude. That was cool hanging out with you, man. And why don't we announce it right now that we talked about doing a show together. We want to do a movie review show. And I don't know, we still got to figure it out, but we're thinking about maybe like Saturday afternoons doing a Vince and Ron at the movies thing where we'll watch a film and then critique it and do a review on it, and if other people watch it, they can. So I think what the idea would be something like maybe we announce the film for the week, and then you and I watch it, and whoever else is interested in it can watch it and then call in, and we can just critique it and review it. We'll be like the Siskel and Ebert of VTR. Although I think Jewish Producer and Mr. Midnight Movie were trying to do that, but then they got involved in BTR drama. So we can pick up the ball for them.
Yeah, I'm totally into it, even if we're the only ones listening.
Yeah, I don't even care. I just want to talk movies.
Yeah, because it was definitely a blast talking film with you.
I saw
a really great movie earlier tonight on Netflix called Europa Report. It was about this space shuttle to Jupiter's moon, Europa, and what happens on the way there. They're looking for life. And, you know, it was one of those deals where it was a lot of the movie was like shot found footage style, like the Blair Witch or whatever, you know, on small cameras and everything. But it was really fantastic, actually. It reminded me a lot about, it reminded me a lot of that James Cameron movie, The Abyss.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Terrible movie. The Abyss, I hated.
Oh, really? You hated it? I kind of liked that movie. I really liked Michael Biehn in it. That was probably my favorite Michael Biehn performance. You know, he played the bad guy, and, you know, he's kind of a bland good guy, I always thought, but in that movie, pretty menacing and scary. The ending was kind of stupid, though, I'll give you that. And Chris Elliott has, had a small part, and it was a little distracting.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm trying to catch up with this whole thing. Oh, my God. anyway, funny stuff. The number is 347-826-7667. I want to give a big ups to Acapella Restaurant down in New York City, Manhattan. Fucking primo place to eat Italian food. If you're a baller and you love Italian food, it was delicious. I don't know what the fuck I ate, but it was good. All right, we got another caller here I want to bring on. I don't know who it is. It's a block number, but we'll let him on. Caller, you're on the air. Who's this?
Right, what's up, Vince?
Hey, who's that?
I want to know, Vince, why the fuck are you trying to be a faggot and dox me for, man?
Dox who?
You're trying to dox me. Now, you're always asking me who I am when I call.
Oh. Okay, let me rephrase that.
We need to address this. This is becoming a very serious problem.
Okay, I get it. What would you like to be, what handle would you like to be referred to as?
There's no need for handles, you know, people, they just share their opinions on the air, there's no need to name it.
Right, okay. Well, you know what, you've called my show before, right?
Oh, yeah, I call all the time, every fucking time, you're like, you know, who are you, and we go through this whole, you know, the whole thing, and it's just not comfortable disclosing.
Right. You got to refresh my memory. How do we usually resolve it?
I usually call you a faggot, and you usually hang up on me.
No, I don't hang up on people for calling me a faggot, dude. I don't care. Call me a faggot.
It's like 3 a.m. I called you, told you I need some assistance. And you're like, man, fuck you, faggot. You just click.
Are you sure you didn't say the word literally?
No, I never use the word literally.
Because I'm a benevolent...
That would be a horrible thing to do.
I know. That's why it's a banned word from my show.
But
you know what? I apologize. You know, my bad. You know, yeah. I treated you unfairly. You don't deserve that. So in light of all this, I'm just going to call you faggot. So faggot, what's on your mind tonight?
Do you know what swatting is, Vince?
Never heard of it. Fill me in.
You know, there's a rumor going around here that once upon a time you actually swatted your own parents to blame Sabu.
Who told you that?
And he never does anything wrong. He's the most caring person you'll ever meet. I mean, you go back and look at all his tweets. He's nothing but anti-government the whole way through.
I know, you know, you're right, you got it, you got, no, I never suspected Sabu of doing it, I just suspected, I suspected many people, but I'm, you know, it had to be somebody that was obviously anonymous, because they you know, they changed their voice. They didn't, they used a voice changer, one of these TTY relay things for the hearing impaired.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and yeah, I mean, I've been menaced by Anonymous for years. What,
theatrical,
huh?
Maybe they weren't Anonymous at all.
What?
I said maybe they just wanted to be theatrical. Maybe they weren't Anonymous at all.
Well, you know, with Anonymous, you don't know who you're dealing with. I have no clue. And that's one thing I want to correct, because I saw somewhere on one of the write-ups in one of these online thingamajiggers that are supposed to be like newspaper things, they suggested that they made it seem like I said that Jeremy and his friends swatted me at my parents, and that's not what I don't think that's what I said. If it came out like that, that's not what I meant. Jeremy was already in jail for over a year when my parents got swatted. But Anonymous, as we know, is still out there running around. And I was just... excuse me?
I said, yeah, they're a bunch of criminals, man. They get off on that shit.
I know. And that's what I was trying to explain to this judge, is that ever since I first met Hector Xavier Monsieur and his merry pranksters of buddies and his, quote, crew... and I met him after Lulzsec was already gone, after he'd already, like, you know, chewed them up and spit them out. He used to tell me these stories about him and his crew and what his crew was up to and his crew this and his crew that. And, of course, now I realize that Jeremy was part of his crew, and in some cases Jeremy was the crew. And so... Yeah, one of the things I said to the judge was that I felt intimidated, menaced, spooked by Anonymous, and I wasn't sure what Sabu was up to. I mean, he never tried to get me to do anything illegal, but I didn't know what his intentions were with wanting to talk to me and stuff.
Have you ever suspected, Vince, it might be... maybe Sabu still calls into your show?
Well, okay. Yes, I do. And I'm putting Sabu in quotes. Okay. Now, Hector, I don't think Hector has called my show. I believe Hector has called my show one time. But Sabu could have called my show multiple times, for all I know. Did you hear the Jester on I Has Candy's show?
I did catch a little bit of that. You know, I'm guessing you're classifying maybe Hector and Sabu as being different personalities.
I suspect that, well, let's face it. Okay, first of all, Hector is being handled by the FBI, so obviously he's not the only person that has eyes on the Hector on the Sabu Nick, right? And for all we know, half those tweets that were coming out of the Anonymous Sabu account could have been from somebody else. And I've had people call my show claiming to be Sabu and talking in very cryptic language about how they are Sabu, saying stuff like, wouldn't it be a trip if the Anonymous Sabu account suddenly tweeted again? You know, shit like that, that just tells me, okay, this is like Jester. Maybe it started off as one dude, but now it's just a ring of pranksters that are just trying to fuck with people. And so that's what I think. I think Hector's locked up, and he's under lock and key, and just helping with information there's other people out there doing the dirty work that he was doing, and I think he's probably just kind of a consultant, more or less, at this point.
So, you know, the one thing I really want to ask you about, who in the fuck tried to set your house on fire, man? I mean, was she a brunette, blonde, redhead? You know, because I found out that...
Okay, that's another factual error. I never said that. And I told that I called that reporter and I told him that never came out of my mouth. I was like, there's a lot of things I can't remember exactly what I said, but I can tell you with 100% certainty that I never said that anybody burnt down my house. Maybe I said something like I was afraid somebody might burn down my house or something like that, but the house I was living in, as far as I know, is still fully intact. And I was so tempted to up the ante, you know, when somebody suggested, they're like, because I wanted to correct it right away when I saw it. I was like, this needs to be corrected. I did not say that. That didn't happen. That's bullshit. And I was with somebody who is a notorious troll from the internet who I will not name. And he says, no, dude, you know what you do? You fucking up the ante. You tell him it was a fucking RPG or it was a fucking, like, bazooka that she just, like, blew up your house, bro. Make it more extreme, man.
Are you sure it didn't really happen, you know? Because I've noticed a lot in the last few minutes of our conversation that you're unsure of a lot of things that you may or may not have said, you know? And this is a common diagnosis of maybe someone on bath salts. So have you taken anything synthetic lately, or...?
No, I'm just on lack of sleep, adrenaline, and coffee.
I spoke to two people at the hearing.
Hold on. Go ahead.
Sorry to cut you off. I specifically asked two people at the hearing.
Sorry to cut you off, but we're calling him faggot, so you'll address him appropriately. That was faggot that called to cut you off. Go ahead, Ron.
I mean, there's really no need to speak into the mirror. I'm just, you know, trying to make a point. You know, you seem unsure of what you may or may have said that day, and you seem to, you know, you have your doubts about whether or not Sabu's called your show. You know, it's telling me, you know, this is quite telling, you know, of your mental state at this point. You know, you
right.
have your house.
You're right.
No,
yeah. Yeah, you're right. It's kind of fishy, isn't it?
It is very fishy.
Okay, Ron, what were you going to say?
Oh, well, I was just saying I spoke to two people at the hearing, and they didn't hear you say anything about anyone burning down your house or talking about anything that Lisa Left Eye from TLC might or might not have done. So as far as I know, that didn't happen.
Okay, is you said your name is Ron, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's Ron.
Two people that you talked to, are they internet activists or otherwise affiliated with Anonymous? Because you know there's people they lie on.
Okay. He wants to discredit your sources. So tell him how credible.
One of them was a reporter. One of them was a reporter.
You can't trust the media. That doesn't count. It doesn't count. You can't trust the media. They lie all the time. So that's discredited. And what was the other source?
Who was it? Anderson Cooper?
Actually, Anderson Cooper was there. He sat on my lap for half the proceedings because it was so packed. And I have to admit, I got a chub.
I bet your clip was just a tingling in anticipation.
No. I have a penis. I mean, it's the size of a clit, but it's still a penis.
At least you're honest about it.
Well, I don't lie, dude. I tell the truth, bro.
Yeah, but you've already said, you know, you had someone burn down your house. Did you or did you not ever have a woman try to burn down your house?
I had a woman once who was so fucking batshit crazy that she probably would have done it if she had thought about it. But it's never happened.
You're talking about Cassandra Rules?
No, dude. No. Cassandra Rules is I'm not talking about her.
No? Okay.
No. What? No. That's Del's girlfriend.
She seems like the type that would try to burn down someone's house, you know. You look at her Twitter feed every day, she breaks up. We get back together 15 minutes later and... Oh, my God, you're a faggot. I hate you. Don't speak to me. Hey, I love you. When are you coming over?
Anything else? Faggot. Anything else you wanted to say?
Yeah, when are you going to admit to being Howard Stern, you pompous prick?
All right, you're out of here. Next caller, unscreened, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hello, Vin.
Hey, who's that?
Hello. I just wanted to talk to you about a couple of things tonight. Here, give me a minute. I had some... Here it is, right here. Okay, so... this is in regards to what's going on right now with the NSA, Chelsea Manning as well. Dive right back into it. I'll get to that in a minute. But I'm just going to try to initiate you into this type of thinking before I tell you what I want to tell you. But, okay, so.
Just spit it out, dude. Spit it out. Well, first of all, what's your handle? What do you want to go by? What do you want me to call you?
You don't need to call me anything, really.
Okay, I'll call you faggot number two.
I'm honestly scared to say this, but I'm gonna go ahead anyway. I mean, it doesn't really matter. But, okay.
Okay.
In the ritual, the girl is slaughtered. Her blood is drank by all, then poured upon the naked woman. Her breast and finally the heart of the child is placed inside her vagina. Then the ritual proceeds and a green ectoplasm starts excluding from her vagina, foaming into an incubus. This is your CIA. Give me a minute. Primary initial child torture from any Western U.S. done at China Lake, a.k.a. Naval Ordnance Test Station, not Naval Weapons Center, NWS, Ridgecrest, near Wordtown. I know Kern, this area.
Hey, bro, hang on a second. Can you hang on a second?
Yeah.
Okay, you there? All right.
Yeah.
Take a deep breath. You got all the time in the world, bro. We got, we still have 50 minutes left. It's just me, you, and Ron. So you don't have to feel like you have to rush through it. Just read it, dude. It's cool. Go ahead.
Primary initial child torture from any U.S. children done at China Lake, a.k.a. Naval Ordnance Test Station, not Naval Weapon Sentry, NWS, Witchcrest, near Wordtown, Montfort. Here it is. Okay, here. This is exactly what I wanted to get to. Here, 1 minute.
Go ahead. We'll wait.
All right. Okay, so I'm just going to cut to the chase.
Right.
You won't really, I mean, once I say this, you're not going to really catch on to it, but I mean, you can do your homework, mm-hmm. find
sure.
out for yourself.
Go ahead.
1982, you're familiar with the Bohemian Grove at all?
Bohemian Grove?
Yeah, the Bohemian Grove.
Oh yeah, I go every summer. I go every summer. It's great. I bunked with Nouriel Roubini last year. Great guy.
Okay, well, it's not okay. It doesn't. My phone's glitching. Can you hear me?
I know it is. It is. Hey, can you do me a favor? Can you try calling back and maybe we can get a better connection? Do you mind doing that?
1982, The Cremation of Care, directed by Rob McManigal, child sacrificial ritual at Bohemian Grove, snuff film made out of it. Humans are highly dissociative due to being ultra-sensitive and myriad ways to the onslaught of the unsafe environment. Even a simple sheet can bruise them. The programmer offers hypnotic cooling in the preemie's dissociative state. Newborns are taught obedience by placing tape over their mouths and told repeatedly no with index finger gesturing. Approval is received for not crying. 18 months. Are you still there?
I'm listening, dude. Go ahead.
18 months. The love bombing CCs in the bays caged. Senses are then overwhelmed. Smell, bays, excrement, ammonia, rotting food, sound, chanting. After 72 hours of suffering, the trusted caregiver of last 18 months.
Keep going, bro. Keep going. Okay, and he is in the green room. I have no idea what he's talking about. It sounds like some fucking tinfoil Alex Jones bullshit to me. He's got to work on his delivery. I don't know if he's trolling or if he's, like, serious, but whatever. Hey, Ron, you want to stick around? I want to take a break and come back with more calls and bullshit. So I'll be right back with Ron Reinert and maybe this tinfoil dude. I don't know. But in the meantime, I'm going to play this track that I tweeted out the lyrics to earlier today. And people thought I was on drugs or something, and I was sober on the plane, bored, tweeting lyrics to the Coup's song called The Guillotine. And it's by The Coup, and the lyrics were written by Boots Riley, and I'm pretty sure he was sober and serious when he was writing them, but people thought I was on crack for tweeting out these lyrics. So here they are in musical form. I'll be right back.
This is not a charade. We need total concentration.
Hit it!
You're tuned to Disorderly Conduct with your host, Vince in the Bay.
Don't quit your day job.
Yarrai me!
Mentre la multinazionale Thomson si è impadronita di tutti i brevetti della DPL e la ricerca ufficiale sembra si sia concentrata su applicazioni industriali di scarso interesse sociale e comunicativo, il sogno dei pionieri delle realtà virtuali perché queste siano condivise da più persone ed economicamente accessibili a tutti sembra allontanarsi. Ma la sperimentazione indipendente non si è fermata e oggi, grazie ad alcuni geniali creativi, è possibile accedere a dei sistemi di realtà virtuale a basso costo e condivisibili. Parliamo di Rentro 8-6, Sinari, Alcosti.
Finish him!
These top fighters are really something else.
Flawless victory. Friendship.
Call in now, biatches. 347-826-7667. And now your host, Vince in the Bay.
What a silly Negro.
And we're back. Hey, everybody. It's VITB back up in this for another 43 minutes. It's a late night hangout show with my guest tonight, Ron Breinert. Welcome back, Ron.
Hey, still here.
Cool. Let's take some more calls, shall we?
I guess, sure.
All right, caller, unscreened, you're on the air. Who's this?
I'm back. I have what I wanted to show you. I was trying to prepare it, but...
Yeah, next time. No, next time, it's cool. Next time.
I'm pretty honestly scared to tell you or give you this information, but I have right now sitting in front of me a VCR tape of a snuff film directed by Rob McManigle, who lives in San Francisco, California, right next to Bill Union Grove. I have an entire docs right on him sitting in front of me as well as right now. Date, 1982. I'm just asking you, just trying to see how your mind reacts to that.
To what? A snuff film? I know snuff films exist, whether they're from Bohemian Grove or not. I mean, what's the point? I don't. Are you asking me if I'm a fan of snuff films or something? I've never seen one. I never want to see one. The closest thing I saw was, remember that journalist Daniel Pearl who got his fucking head chopped off on camera by some fucking radical Islamist? Do you remember that a couple years back? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, did you hear what I said?
What did you just say?
Never mind. Ask me the question again.
No, you were just talking.
I'm not sure what you're getting at, dude. Like, are you asking me what I think about it? Like, I think snuff films are fucked up. I think killing people is fucked up whether it's on camera or not. And I'm not interested in looking at snuff films. I don't care if the Illuminati made it or your fucking grandmother made it. I think it's wrong.
Well,
I think it's sick.
Can you define the Illuminati for me?
Can I define the Illuminati for you?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're the evil reptilian overlords that run our entire planet.
Really?
Did I stutter? Hello? Did we lose him? Hello?
Well, we might have lost him a long time ago.
I don't know if we ever had him. All right, he's still there. He hasn't hung up. Dude, are you there? All right, he's shy. He's very shy. Oh, he dropped off. Bye-bye. Okay. All right. 347-826-7667 is the number. We have City of Flint with us now in the chat room. What's up, Flint? Hope you're doing well. Feel free to call in. It's myself and Ron Breinert. We're hanging out, chopping it up here on the air. If you have any questions, you can submit them through the chat room, or you can call in if you want to share something. And he just left. Okay. Whatever, dudes. If you want to join me, don't be shy. There's a number to call. You know it. It's 347-826-7667. So, Ron, what else is going on?
The Jets were annihilated today. I'm not sure. Your Raiders won, though, right?
Oh, my God, yes. Thank you. Oh, fuck. Where's Goofy Bone? Goofy Bone, he's probably passed out drunk from partying because they actually won. Yeah, man, I'm fucking stoked, man. I only caught part of the game because I was in transit, but I saw some of it at the airport. I saw him score a touchdown, and that was kind of cool. Like, it's always cool when the Raiders score touchdowns, even if they're losing. It's encouraging that they can score. It's even more encouraging that they're winning games on the road against fairly tough teams. I mean, that the Texans, as far as the Raiders are concerned, that, you know, a win on the road at the Texans is a good one. Hello?
Yeah.
One, two. Go ahead.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, yeah, I'm not really familiar with how the Texans are doing this year, actually.
Well, all I know is the Raiders scored on them.
Touchdown, Raiders!
Yeah, Greg Papa. That's how Greg Papa announces them whenever the Raiders score on the radio. That's the radio broadcaster.
I actually was a humongous Raiders fan when I was younger, you know, because I've always been a Jets fan my whole life, but I was too young when they won, and for so most of my childhood, they were really bad. But, I mean, I used to Stabler and Plunkett were two of my favorite quarterbacks when I was a kid. So, you know, I used to watch them a lot. But not really so much in recent days. And I always lose track of when they're moving back and forth between L.A. and Oakland. But perhaps they've been back in Oakland for a while now. I'm not sure.
Yeah, they've been back in Oakland since, like, 1987, dude.
No. I'm really dating myself.
Well, somebody's got to.
there you go.
Yeah. Good shit, dude. 347-826-7667 is the number. I'm with Ron Breinert. We're chopping it up about anything and everything. We were talking about the Hammond sentencing.
We should talk about our friend from Starbucks.
Oh my God! Holy shit! Well, you got to help me with the story. Basically, we were kicking it. Was it Saturday morning at a Starbucks? It was really early in the morning on a Saturday, and I have my computer plugged in, and we're just sitting there, just chatting and surfing the web and shit. And this chick sits down on the same. It's like one of those counters that face the window to the street. And she sits down at the counter close to, you know, a couple seats away from us against the wall, like right next to the power outlet where my computer's plugged into. And she starts getting into a, she just starts getting into a conversation with us, telling us about how terrible men are and like all the men that work. Well, first of all, what, the first thing she said was like she lost her job or something, wasn't it?
No, the first thing she said, well, I guess what happened is that you wanted to unplug your computer or something, and you didn't want to reach over her, so you asked her if she could do it, and she took offense to that. I had no idea why she started talking a mile a minute to you, but, I mean, first of all, it sounded like she didn't need any coffee, so Starbucks was definitely the wrong place for her, because she was saying like about 1,000 words a minute, but she started just like really quickly rambling about how she used to work in Wall Street and all men were lazy, and that you reminded her of guys in her 50s that just like kids and they're lazy and they don't do anything, and it's really hard to give justice to what this woman was like, because she seemed like she was on drugs, medication, crazy, and on coffee, but she just would not stop talking, and you were just trying to be nice, and you know, we were leaving, and she just would not stop, and then she started calling you genius and getting mad because you were interrupting her long tirade, you know, and I don't know, it was just very, very interesting, and like, you know, like as I said, I've been in New York for 20 years, and I've seen people take shits in the street, and that seemed less crazy than her, although, who knows, maybe she wasn't crazy, and she just was on some kind of medication or drug or something, but definitely. And then when we went past Starbucks again, you were trying to look for her for some reason. I was like, no, keep going.
Yeah, I think pretty much all the above factors were at play. And on top of that, I think she was just probably having a really bad day, too.
Well, I think like, it was 8:30 in the morning, so it couldn't have been that bad of a day. I mean, unless it was like us and the day was still Friday.
Yeah, I don't know. She was weird, dude.
Yeah, she was weird. Really, really weird and aggressive and just, oh, my God, it was just, you know, I kind of wish that we had a recording of her, just so that we could do it justice, because I'm sure that the story about her isn't one-tenth of interesting as she actually was. But now she's famous to the 7 listeners listening now at 4:30 a.m. in the East Coast.
Oh, man, dude. It's so funny. Some of the shit. Matt, I'm sorry, I'm looking at, like, my mentions and stuff. And Matt Quick, you know this guy Matt Quick Hit on Twitter?
No, I don't think I do.
He's friends with X. X, so you're there. X, you're friends with this guy Matt Quick Hit. He says, wait, so VITB is verified informant, or that's loud chatter? I'm not an informant, dude. I'm a victim. Get it right.
Yeah, I'm not an informant either. Yeah, I'm just CIA. Hey,
yeah. Okay. X you out. Can you clarify that for him? Just tell him that I'm a victim. And Ron is allegedly CIA. So I think we quashed that one there.
Yeah, and I can't really fuck with anyone in that lives in the U.S. because it's illegal. So, you know, the only people that should really fear me are international spies and enemies of that victimized you and tried to burn your house down or not. And, oh, and pizza bombed and China Foods bombed you.
Oh, yeah. Anonymous.
Egg roll.
Anonymous. Anonymous put me through the ringer, dude. All these anonymous trolls and hackers and shit have just totally ruined my life and made it completely miserable. And now I just, I decided I'm just, the old saying, if you're handed lemons in life, fucking make orange juice. And that's what I'm doing.
That's why you can't go to sleep, right? Sorry.
Yeah. No, I'm going to be able to go to sleep tonight, I think. I'm going to take some sleeping pills and force myself to just go into a coma.
Sleep pattern is really disrupted. That's why I'm up right now at 4:30 in the morning.
Jesus Christ, dude. Yeah, I'm going to try to sleep and then hopefully wake up for the markets to open at, 6:30 my time. Wow, maybe I won't wake up for the markets, but we'll see. XU Out says, Matt hasn't tweeted in 6 hours, Vince. I know, yeah, this is a tweet from like 6 hours ago. I know people talk about me and they don't want to mention me, so they just say VITB. So every once in a while, I'll do a search on VITB to see who's talking shit, who doesn't have the balls to fucking tag me in it. And not that saying that Matt doesn't have the balls, because Matt and I went toe to toe a couple weeks back when X U Out was dark and we were, I don't know, there was some drama going on, but that's over and done with. So I know he's not afraid. I think he was just like legitimately curious, like what the hell's going on with Vince in the Bay, because there's all kinds of crazy people were saying that I was like, that lawyers put me up to this shit, and it's totally not true. I didn't even know that they were going to have victims speak. I had no clue. I was going to leave. I was so antsy, and there was so much other shit going on that I was, to be honest, I was kind of fucking bored. After Jeremy spoke, it was boring. It was just a lot of blah, but it blah, blah, this, he did this, and blah, 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 and this and that, and blah, 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 blah. And I was just kind of like, let's just fucking cut to the chase. What's the deal? And I was so close to leaving, but I stayed. And then when I saw, then she's all like, then the judge said, well, are there any victims in the audience that would like to come forward? I was like, victims? Oh, this is going to be interesting. And when she said that, this crazy dude that I met in the lobby before we got into the courtroom, who introduced himself to me as Banksy. He's like, hi, I'm Banksy. I'm like, nice to meet you. I'm Sabu. And he thought, and we were like snarking at each other, and he's being like really weird. He's like, dude, you know Banksy's a collective, right? It's not just one person. I'm like, yeah, kind of like the jester, right? And I'm like, but please don't tell me that Santa Claus isn't real. That'll just kill my... But anyway, so that's the dude that went before me. He like puts his hand up like immediately, like he like on cue, like he knew it was going to happen. And I was like, whoa. And after talking to that guy, that jokester in the lobby, I was like, dude, fuck that. If that's who's a victim, then I'm a victim, because I actually was fucking menaced by Anonymous and Sabu and his crew, which at the time included Jeremy. I have no evidence that Jeremy did anything to me, but it's Anonymous. So for all I know, he could have. I don't think he did, though, because I think Jeremy didn't even know who the fuck I was until Friday, and he probably still is trying to figure out who the fuck I am. But the point is, he was an Anonymous, and you don't know who you're dealing with Anonymous. So, my whole thing, my beef was really with just Anonymous in general, and what they were doing to me personally at around that time when Sabu and Antisec were doing their thing. And it got to the point where I was so spooked that I went dark off the internet. I left. I was scared. I was like, because I was talking to Sabu, and he's telling me about his crew and all this stuff, and this is stuff I'm telling the, I told the judge. I was like, you know, I talked to Sabu and stuff, and then he starts going off on these operations like Op Cartel. Hey, let's take down the Zetas, guys. I was like, holy shit, that's fucking crazy, dude. No way. And I was like, that's it. I'm fucking out of here, dude. This is getting wacky, man. This is getting too real. And Anonymous has made me change my phone number so many times that I decided that I just don't even want a phone anymore because I know it's going to leak out somehow. And then my parents got swatted. Obviously that wasn't by Hammond because he was already in jail at the time, but yeah, for all I know, those were Anons too, and it became more of my victimization was more in regards to Anonymous in general and Sabu's crew that kind of spooked me really hard. Sabu and his crew who spooked me really hard, and now that we and at the time I didn't know it, but now I do know that. Like I said, his crew consisted of Jeremy Hammond. So, like, I thought I feel I had a legitimate claim to being a victim. And apparently the judge thought he did too, because she let me talk for 10 minutes. She didn't cut me off. I mean, she was actually cool. She was like helping me out. Like, because you know me, I go off on tangents and stuff and I get off topic, and she would be like, focus, what are your damages? And I told her all my damages were emotional, mental damage. And, you know, I got really depressed, and then I was, you know, my shit's on Doxbin, my parents' information is on Doxbin and all this shit. And, you know, I'm freaked out. So, yeah, I was definitely a victim. Now, everybody thinks I was trolling her, and I guess by default I kind of was because, you know, I sprinkled in my usual sarcasm in, you know, my delivery probably, you know, felt like I was trolling because, you know, I was doing stuff like I was asking the judge, like, have you ever, you know, I've been pizza bombed. I've been, you know, Anonymous has beat pizza bombed me. They've Chinese food bombed me. They've text bombed me, you know, they've swatted my parents, all kinds of shit, dude. And so they fucking freaked me out, man. And they caused me to stop my show. You stop tweeting and just like, I got depressed and I wanted to get to the point where I wanted to like fucking kill myself and shit. I mean, it was just nuts, dude. And I think Preska was like, you know, she empathized or sympathized with me. At least she had to, at least, or whatever. She let me talk, and when I was done, she's like, "Is that it?" I'm like, "Yeah, I guess." And she's like, "All right, thank you." And I said, "Thank you," and I went back and sat down. I didn't get dragged out like homeboy before me, although I was shitting bricks because there's like all these marshals, you know, lined up like with around me with. Within distance, striking distance. So, you know, I was trying to be careful and tactful, but at the same time, I was full of emotion. And it was a very emotional room to be in. It felt like I was in church. It was this huge cavernous room, and all the seating in the back was all like wooden benches. Like, and I felt like, because I'm Catholic, and it felt like I was in church. Like, I wanted to genuflect before I got into my pew and sit down. And I actually even prayed during Jeremy's speech. I was praying for Jeremy. I was praying for his family. I was praying for the judge that she would, you know, make a fair decision. I was praying for everybody in the courtroom. I was praying for all the supporters inside the courtroom, outside the courtroom, you know, the supporters online, everybody that was pulling for Jeremy. I was overwhelmed with emotion, and I I even cried for a minute during the middle of his speech. It was so sad because I from my perspective, I was like imagining, you know, what if that was me up there and that was my family behind me watching me, you know, say my final words before I get locked up for, you know, 10 more years or whatever. And I don't even know if he's going to get time served or not. I didn't even pay attention. I think he is, but all I paid attention to was when she finally got to the actual sentencing, and she said all I heard was 120 months, and I was like, holy fuck, she gave him the maximum. I couldn't believe it. I was like, the fucking maximum. And you know, and of course, and like when I sat back down in my speech, there was some Jeremy people, some of Jeremy's like real friends in real life from Chicago and stuff, and they were like flipping me off and, you know, mouthing like, you fucking asshole, you think this is all about you, blah blah blah. And you know, there was someone behind me that was a friend of his that was like, you know, elbowing me in the shoulder from behind, and I'm just like, what the fuck? And you know, I honestly, if the transcript's going to come out, I hope soon, and if you read it, I don't know if I even mentioned Jeremy by name at all, maybe once or twice, I can't remember. It was just such a blur. I think I talked about Hector way more than I talked about Jeremy. But anyway, I don't know. I think Jeremy got a kick out of it because I made eye contact with him a few times and he was smirking, so he seemed to be amused by it. And when I talked to his dad afterwards, he was like, son, that was quite a performance. I thought it was beautiful. The only thing I was afraid of is that you were going to get locked up and we were going to try to have to figure out a way to get you out of jail. But it didn't happen, dude. I just went back to my seat and sat down, and that was it.
Now, I'm not a big fan of hackers and all that, but the one thing that really bugs me about Preskin, although I don't know everything that she said in the courtroom or practically none of what she said, but the way she was so dismissive of you know, Hammond's last plea and she just essentially said that he was causing mayhem. Another thing I noticed too is she said that he wasn't a Daniel Ellsberg, and I mean, you know, while I certainly agree that there was nothing, it doesn't really seem like anything of particularly high value was really learned by all the hacks that Hammond participated in with Sabu, as far as we know, but or at least not yet. It's clear that he was targeting defense contractors and security firms. And one of the things that I noticed when I was reading the press release by the Department of Justice used the word defense contractor or security firm once in the entire press release. It's just companies. He hacked into companies. And I mean, there's a huge difference, I mean, between a company and a defense contractor and a security firm. And it does list the names of the contractors and some of the security firms that he hacked, you know, along with Stratford. They included Special Forces Gear and Vanguard Defense Industries. But again, they're just referred to as companies in the press release. And Preska seemed not care or not know about anything that was done, and it seems like she's sort of like almost like mixing up the companies that he went after as opposed to the other LulzSec members who, you know, like changed the Fox News website to add silly thing about Murdoch and went after Sony Film website. But that's not the kind of stuff that Hammond did. So I just think that that's really wrong that that she just essentially said that he was causing mayhem, and that essentially the government is just almost is pretty much lying to everyone that reads his press release by just referring to the companies that he hacked into as just plain and straight companies.
Yeah, well, I mean, they are technically companies, right?
Right, but, you know, my point is, though, is that the defense contractors and security firms are never mentioned at all, and if you read, like, Hammond's statement, for instance, he uses those two terms, you know, a bunch of times, and that's what he was after, you know, and it's, you know, I just, you know, and again, I don't think that this is the Pentagon Papers, and they were looking for stuff that would hopefully, you know, reveal, you know, humongous things, but, you know, and there were certainly a lot of interesting emails in the Stratford hacks, but, you know, I just don't think it was just out, that he was just out to cause mayhem. It's obviously he was politically minded, and that, like Barrett Brown even, he's concerned about government contractors that, you know, that pretty much can break or bend laws and do things for the FBI or other intelligence agencies, and you know, that are kind of scary. You know, they're the ones that are actually doing most of the spying on activists. So that's one of the main reasons why Anonymous has, and, you know, LulzSec and AntiSec and so many activists have, you know, made that their, you know, focus. And there isn't enough reporting on it.
Yeah. I agree. Oh, hey, I have a message for you from Raincoaster. She said,
yeah, well, I saw her silly tweet. She seems to think the fact that she likes it that journalist families get doxxed, and she gets a kick out of it, and she talks all the time about how she still gets hit on a blog post of direct messages that she leaked, cherry picked and leaked to mock me. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. Good for her. She's, you know, I'm glad she gets 5 or 6 hits a month on her website for people looking for information on me. All the power to her.
You know what? I think she's just jealous that there's not a song about her.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, I wish there was a song about me. That's when you know you've made it, when people are writing songs about you.
Well, I have a feeling that you might get a song very shortly based on your definitely, you won the internet as, I forget who said that. Was it Stanley that said that? Someone did. Said that you won the internet the other day on Friday, and you certainly made a lot of activists who were sad and angry and depressed by Hammond getting the pretty much what he agreed to, the full 10 years. You know, but I mean, I think, like, Dale Cameron did an article, an interesting article today on the important thing that came out of the Hammond trial, in my opinion, was
I haven't read it.
The revelation that he and Sabu discussed all these foreign government websites to hack into, and some of them that they did hack into. And evidently, while Hammond was reading his statement in the court, she cut him off after he only mentioned 3 of the 10 to 11 countries. And I think that's really interesting, and because In the filing for the sentencing, the government made claims that they contacted all the foreign countries after his arrest and told them and informed them about the vulnerabilities that were discussed. And as I mentioned in an article that I published tonight, earlier tonight, Iran was one of those countries, And it just seems extremely dubious to me that you know, Obama called up Iran and said, hey, yeah, so, you know, sorry about all the war threats and the bomb threats, but there's a problem with your website, and, you know, we're not looking at anything in there, and we didn't download anything, we didn't touch it, don't worry about it, but we're just giving you a heads up that you might want to fix this so that other countries, you know, that don't like you, don't get into your shit. That just seems extremely dubious to me, and that could be an opening for an appeal. And I think that's one of the reasons why he insisted on naming the countries, or tried to name it. He named at least three in the courtroom.
Yeah, he named three. And she cut him off and said, sir, that's redacted. You cannot say that. And he did a little, and then he reworded it. It was pretty funny. At least the people I was sitting with, we kind of grinned at that. I thought that was funny. But
yeah, but Dale Cameron wrote an article for the Daily Dot about, you know, which listed all the countries that were allegedly redacted, and Jacob Applebaum evidently vouched for this. But I mean, it might not be true. But Iraq was one of those countries, and Colombia, Greece, Pakistan, which they might not be too happy about, and Puerto Rico.
Huh. I wonder how they got into Puerto Rico. Wonder how that happened. Wonder who had the inside track on Puerto Rico.
Well, you know, Cebu has hacked Puerto Rico before.
I know. That's what I mean. Yeah. That's what I mean. Is like one of his first claims to fame was he was 16 years old and he hacked some fucking Puerto Rican website. You know,
Hector's been the bombings that the military, that the U.S. military used to do there for a practice targeted. I always forget how to pronounce it, Vieques or Vieques or something like that. But there were many Democratic politicians and civil rights activists that like Al Sharpton spent a few weeks in jail, and I think Jesse Jackson was in jail for a few weeks too for protesting the bombings, which stopped. And, you know, so that is one of the cooler things, I guess, if you're, you know, for hacktivism, that Cebu participated in before. But I think that they're claiming also that they actually did hack into Puerto Rico as well. So, I mean, at the very least, that really needs to be probed by Congress and looked at by journalists. And, you know, I'm not sure if it'll be a cause for Hammond to appeal his sentence and maybe get out. But it does seem to me that it's, you know, like I tweeted this the other day, that it's really unconstitutional and unjust for the government not to admit that they may have used these kids to, you know, break into foreign government websites. And, I mean, that should be reflected on the sentencing. And it's wrong to keep that information from the cases.
I agree. And you know what? We've totally run out of time. So I want to thank you, Ron, for calling in. Is there anything really quick you want to add before we sign off?
Can someone please buy the Knicks another win?
Good luck, pal. All right, man. Thanks for coming through. We'll do it again soon. Again, I look forward to us doing the movie podcast in the future. Really quickly, anybody in the chat room, anything you want to say? This is the first time I've ever given final thoughts to the chat room, but anybody in the chat room want to say something real quick? Chef Bonardi, Jocelyn, Truth Education, X-U Out, anybody, Bueller, speak now or forever hold your peace. Okay, all right, well, that's going to do it. I'm Vince in the Bay. Thanks for coming out for this. The next show, oh, X-U Out asks, when's the next show? I don't know. I just got back into town, and I got a lot of shit I got to catch up on here, so I don't know. It might be another day or two. But, oh, yeah, I'm going to be on Suicide Girls Radio this week. Is it this week? I think, yeah, it's on Thursday night. Thursday night, I'm going to be on Suicide Girls Radio. So that'll be the next time you probably will see me. Unless I get a wild hair up my butt and decide to do a show before then. But I had a fucking crazy whirlwind tour, and I need to recuperate and catch back up on my business and stuff. So, oh yeah, also XU Out says, reminds me that Wednesday is Rebel Radio. I don't know what's going on Wednesday on Rebel Radio, but I'm sure it's going to be good. The last one was fucking awesome, dude. The one that Schmoop hosted was like the best I've ever heard. The best broadcast I've ever heard those guys do. It was awesome. It was great. Yeah, that's it. Thank you again, Chef Bone RD, John Slim, Truth Education, XU Out, of course, Ron Breinert for calling in, and everybody else who is out there listening. Have a fantastic evening. Sleep well. Sleep tight. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/VinceInTheBay. Until next time, peace out, yo.